This is KUNC. I'm Kyra Buckley. In addition to attacks from hostile forces, U.S. military bases around the world are facing a new threat, climate change. The issue recently took KUNC's Michael DeJuana to a remote radar site at the Bering Strait for a collaboration with the public radio program Reveal. Now Michael is looking at an Army depot in southern Colorado that's home to the country's largest stockpile of chemical weapons. And he joins me now.
Hi, Kyra.
The Army Pueblo Chemical Depot is about 15 miles east of Pueblo, and it's where the chemical weapons are being destroyed. But what exactly is there?
Hundreds of thousands of shells and mortars filled with some horrible stuff, mustard agent. The depot is one of two sites in the country that still have stockpiles that were manufactured mostly in the World War II era. But what brought me there was a list that names the depot as one of the Army's top 10 installations at risk for climate change.
So who compiled this list?
It was put together by the Army itself and then released to the Senate as an addendum to a Department of Defense report from January that highlights climate change issues at dozens of installations.
And this builds off of your work with Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. That's about how melting sea ice in the Arctic is a threat to some North American Aerospace Defense Command radars.
Right. And that's NORAD, based in Colorado Springs. They use those radars to scour the skies for nuclear and other threats. At just one radar station, it cost $48 million to build a seawall to shore up against erosion. And that's just a small example of what the military is contending with. A former secretary of the Navy told me if nothing is done, the world's largest naval station in Norfolk, Virginia, will disappear underwater within our lifetimes.
What are the military's options?
Well, I asked that question to John Conger. He's a former comptroller with the Defense Department and now director of the nonpartisan Center for Climate and Security.
I think it's absolutely important for every installation to understand their vulnerability to climate change, to understand what steps they need to take to improve their resilience and to protect themselves.
Is each installation doing what he advises?
No. I found in my reporting that each has its own approach. Some are studying climate change to see if they need to prepare. Others have taken action, like modifying construction plans or remediating sites. Still, many installations have no specific climate change plans, and that includes the Pueblo Chemical Depot. So I went to the depot to see if that's a problem. After passing through a heavy security check at a guard station, I was escorted to a small building.
Hello.
Hi.
Where I shook hands with the depot's commander, Army Colonel Michael Cobb. We talked about the chemical weapons stored here.
They've been here since the 50s.
Under international treaty, they must be destroyed at an industrial plant a few miles north, where workers are currently processing 155-millimeter shells.
And then, this is the 155.
The colonel picks up a replica of one in his office. It's about the size of a fire extinguisher. He hands it to me.
So you can see how heavy that is.
Oh, man.
As the shells are dismantled, the depot's semi-arid landscape is slowly getting hotter and drier because of climate change. The Army calls it desertification, and because of it, the land is more prone to drought and wildfire. But Cobb says the depot is prepared, even without a specific climate change plan. The depot has fire and water plans already in place that make it resilient against harsh environmental conditions. And the Army will soon be gone after the last weapon is destroyed.
The target date is December of 2023. We're shooting for December of 2022.
Congressman Jason Crow says that while some installations are prepared for climate change, others are not.
The response from the services has been very inconsistent.
The Colorado Democrat and former Army Ranger wants to see a more comprehensive response from the military.
We have installations, hundreds of installations throughout the world that are being impacted tremendously from extreme weather, sea level rise, ocean surges, wildfires, droughts, and a number of environmental factors that are becoming more acute.
In June, the investigative arm of Congress, the Government Accountability Office, released its report gauging climate change preparedness at 23 installations. About one-third of them had no specific plans. Now, Crow is pushing legislation to force installations to assess climate change impacts.
To ensure that they're looking at extreme weather, environmental conditions, cyber issues, and the impacts of climate change on their resiliency.
His legislation is called the Military Installation Resilience Assuredness Act. It's in the House version of the massive annual defense budget authorization. But there's no companion legislation on the Senate side, meaning a joint chamber conference committee will determine its fate before the budget is sent to President Donald Trump.
I'll hop back here.
The summer sun hangs over the Pueblo Chemical Depot as I get into a van with several experts, including its fire chief, Wes Huntley.
I mean, you pretty much see what we have to deal with, which is basically prairie.
This already dry land with few trees is expected to become more and more desert-like. Huntley fights fire with fire here. Prescribed burns help to keep dry grasses and other plants that fuel fires at bay.
We have a limit of how high that flame is going to get.
The van finally comes to the massive compound where the chemical weapons are stored and destroyed. There are rows of what are called igloos, buildings that look like soda pop cans cut in half, where the shells and mortars inside are kept at a constant temperature. It's all surrounded by fences with a guard tower looming above. What Huntley notices are the breaks. Like the roads.
We can defend that very easily. I mean, we could cut a line or we could use quick water spray and do wet downs in front of it and it will actually kill it.
And across from the plant is a fire station, staffed around the clock with two giant tanks filled with more than 650,000 gallons of water. If there was a big fire, other departments in the region are ready to pitch in. And water is precious at the depot. Edward Dunn, the depot's director of operations, shows me a self-sufficient system of wells and towers.
We're going to walk around the side. Just be careful, Pueblo has snakes. So.
Luckily, we don't encounter any rattlesnakes as we walk across the dry land to a small, lonely building.
This is a primary pump, and if you go back here, you'll see a pipe that...
The plant that's destroying the weapons also recycles much of its water. For Dunn, desertification is not the biggest concern. Rather, he worries about the rising demand for water as the climate everywhere warms.
It's how much water can I store? What is the demand on that water? And what is the long-term resolution on trying to manage those watersheds? So it's not unique to the depot.
Okay, Michael, so the Army hopes all the chemical weapons will be destroyed by December of 2022. Are they on track to meet this deadline?
This story has been in the news for years. It's taken more than a decade for the plant to ramp up from conception to tests to reaching a solid pace, which they've only hit recently. Yet the plant's top officials tell me they're not destroying weapons as fast as they could yet. So tomorrow, join me for a story to see exactly what it takes to dismantle a 155-millimeter shell filled with mustard gas.
Michael, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
KUNC's Michael DeJuana is an investigative reporter who also covers military issues. You can go deeper with this story at KUNC.org.